Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, today's program is for those of you at middle age and suddenly single. Are you alone after years of marriage or long-time romantic partnership? Did you only recently suffer the death of your loving spouse? You will always miss him or her dearly, but you're ready to move on. You know in your heart that you're simply not cut out for living alone. Maybe you're suddenly single following divorce. You've handled the logistics and have made the wise decision to put your breakup behind you. You can still believe in romance and very much want to try again, moving forward to a new beginning. Not widowed or divorced, and your marriage is going strong. Well, our program today is not just about finding new romantic partners. It's all about starting over. And I'll bet, like me, more than a few times you've suffered from loss or have found yourself stuck on neutral. Maybe a career setback, you didn't get that anticipated raise or promotion, or worse yet, you lost that job you loved following a corporate downsizing. Or maybe your small business went under during the recession. Perhaps it has nothing to do with career. Did you suffer the trauma of a devastating accident or health emergency and you're still not all the way back? Then there's a lot of us who can't put a finger on a single loss or breakup that's causing our pain, but it just feels like something is missing, be it career, marriage, parenting, finances, social relationships, health and fitness. Certain areas of your life just don't seem right. And then some of us suffer from depression, and it's extremely hard to get out of bed each morning. And we'll address the path to recovery later, but first let's talk about recapturing romance. This time of year, early summer, is a great time for new romantic beginnings. Maybe it's time for you to try something new. But here's the problem. For a lot of us over 40, the thought of returning to the dating game can be overwhelming. And if you're like me, you haven't been on a real date in 20, 25, even 35 years. And I'm not talking about weekly date nights with your spouse. Did you marry right out of high school or college? If so, you've been away from the dating scene for a long, long time, and needless to say, today's world of the internet, smartphone, social media, and online dating holds all kinds of opportunities and risks that didn't exist the last time you were dating. And my guest, Susan Trammell, certainly understands your challenge. At age 62, she left a 40-year marriage and was suddenly single again. And by the way, 40 years till divorce is a new record for our program. She broke the previous record held by Tony Tennille, who divorced the captain after 39 years of marriage. And following divorce, Susan Trammell took on the dating plunge and is here to advise on what she learned, the do's and don'ts of today's dating world. And more importantly, she's here to deliver inspiration. And Susan Trammell is a self-proclaimed 21st century alchemist. She's an inspirational author, speaker, teacher, and coach. Her stated mission is to teach folks how to make things happen using the inherent power of mind to change matter and the very fabric of our reality, living a powerful life from inside out. That sounds great, doesn't it? And she's author of three recent inspirational books that she's combined into a single cover, The Transformational Power of Love, a trilogy. I can't pronounce it. Hello, Susan Trammell. It's indeed an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you, Roy. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'd like to speak first to the suddenly single, and needless to say, today's world of online dating holds all kinds of opportunities that you and I never imagined when we dated years ago in college or right out of school. For you, what's the best part of 21st century dating?
Well, it certainly is different. First of all, Roy, you're absolutely right. We couldn't have imagined where we are today back in, for me, the mid to late 60s.
Yeah.
But it's actually an opportunity to get in touch with people that you might never, probably never would have met in other ways. For some folks, we have communities where we socialize, be that neighborhoods, churches, you know, active organizations we're involved with.
Yeah.
But I moved out of corporate America some time ago, and my career these days is very solo as a writer and a speaker.
Welcome to the club.
And so, again, this online opportunity I discovered really offers some great ways to meet people. You do need to take certain precautions. Be smart is what I'd call it.
Yeah.
But it can really be exciting.
Well, in your promo, you say you mustered up courage and took the plunge. What steps did you take to muster up that courage, and what advice do you have for a suddenly single middle-aged woman or man considering whether or not to date again?
Well, first of all, if you've been in a long-term relationship, which is what we're really the group that we're talking with, I think you definitely need to allow time, whatever that might be, it's individual, to just get in touch with yourself, really, first and foremost. And I found the first relationship that I was involved with after my separation, and actually we were technically married 45 and a half years. It took us 5.5 years.
You definitely have the record then.
To go from the time of separation to finalization of our divorce. That's a whole other story. But my first relationship after the breakup was what I'd call a very serendipitous thing. So there was no plotting or planning. It just happened in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
When I became intentional about dating, when I knew it was time to put myself out there again, I sort of had another little serendipitous experience. One day in my mailbox, there was a very attractive flyer from two gals, they're twin sisters, who live in Atlanta, where I am, and it was about their business, which is called Single Atlanta.
Oh.
So I first put my big toe into the water of dating through that service, and it was subsequent to that that I got involved in online dating. Single Atlanta, what such an organization does for anyone who might have this opportunity in their area, is they basically do the screening for you.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
It was sort of a nice transitional way to move into dating again, because I hadn't dated in 40 plus years. So, and it costs. It certainly was a more substantial investment, I'll say, than what we pay to participate in some of these online sites like Match.
Yeah, well, they're doing a lot more for you, obviously, if they do the screening, because obviously some place like eHarmony or something can't do a lot of screening if they have people coming in from all around the country and the world, for that matter.
They only can do what they can do. Actually, I think they could do more. I think they could serve their clientele better, but they're doing what they're doing, and they all seem to be following pretty much the same recipe for what that is.
Yeah.
But obviously there were advantages, and I'll tell you, with this one-on-one kind of personal service I had with Single Atlanta, the very first man I met, it was like they were batting 1,000.
Huh.
And it was just, so it was a very happy outcome to have just started dating again. And, you know, we remain friends to this day. There were different reasons why after 6 months or so of pretty active dating, we didn't continue at that rate, but we still periodically meet for dinner or lunch and catch up with each other.
Well, if from your experience, what are some of the do's and don'ts of online dating? I think one of the good things, you said you took your time, and after 6 months, you know, it cooled. But What are some of the do's and don'ts? Obviously, you don't want a Russian to turn out to end up with the same kind of experience you had before, because we tend to gravitate toward the familiar, and we may feel good because somebody's like our ex, whereas we really need something different.
Exactly. You know, it's like the old saying that we marry our mother or our father, depending on our sex. And I really found that to be true. And I've got to say, there were many, many more positive aspects to my long-term marriage than not. But to talk about online dating, because you're right, there are some precautions or just some smart things I think anybody can do. My background has a very thorough foundation in communication. So one of the things that's a tip-off or really a help for me is when I read the way somebody has expressed themselves in the profile where they're describing themselves. Now, here's one of the precautions, and I discovered this not the first time out, but it didn't take too long. I recognized a certain style of writing, and these were profiles that were really well-written. And I remember, you know, reading one and thinking, well, this sounds like an interesting person. He's certainly well-spoken and so on. Then a few days or a few weeks later, I hit on another one that had a very similar tone. They certainly weren't identical words. Well, it turns out what some people do, and I hate to categorize people, but some people who maybe are not so wonderful at expressing themselves, hire people to create these profiles.
Yeah.
And a very quick way to determine whether that's the case is if you get into the process so far that you might have a telephone conversation.
Yeah.
So let me kind of back up and explain to the audience what I think a safe approach and meaningful approach to online dating is. You go online, you see someone that you find interesting. And unfortunately, we do tend to pay a lot of attention to somebody's looks, and I'm as guilty of that as the next person. But it can also be a superficial way to maybe rule people out that cause us to miss out on a good thing. But anyway, I see somebody, he looks good, creates my initial interest, and then I read what he has to say and what he shared about likes, dislikes, where he is in life, and so on. Then you can do a number of different things in terms of how you reach out. But I will reach out in one of those ways, such as just a real brief email saying that I've looked at his profile and find him interesting, and if he would be interested in me, by taking that same course, would he respond? And then I never give my contact information. If somebody asks for it, I don't give them my phone number, and I don't give them my personal email, because at this point we are emailing via the site's very secure email. If that person is interested in me and perhaps gives me a number to call, I call that person, and I know pretty quickly whether he's the real thing in terms of whether he authored what's said on his
profile. That's pretty easy to uncover.
And if it turns out there's a disconnect there, that's as far as it goes, and I don't waste his time or mine in a conversation. But I'll tell you, Roy, probably on average, of the men that I ended up actually meeting face-to-face, we had extensive telephone conversations beforehand, and some of those lasted as long as an hour. So you can really get to the heart of things much more than that superficial information on your match site or your Our Time site provides.
Here's an interesting challenge a lot of people have mentioned before. From earlier appearances, let's say you found that precise mate of your dreams. You've met in person a few times maybe, but on one of the first few dates, is it a good idea to raise sensitive issues that are really going to be determinant on whether this relationship goes on, like frequency of sex, career and retirement goals, life balance, potential blending of families, financial status, housing arrangements, all that kind of thing, marital history and reasons for prior divorce. And how soon should you bring those up? I know, you know, if you really like this person, you may be afraid that you're going to run him or her off by raising these sensitive issues. But how do you handle that?
Roy, for me, it's what's important for me.
Yeah.
And, again, I don't like to waste my time or somebody else's if I can determine fairly early on that there are more disconnects than potential connects.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, I think if we each examine for ourselves before we put our big toe in the water here, what is really important? What might be, quote, deal breakers? You know, what are things that you feel so strongly about and you want so much in a relationship that if this individual can't offer those qualities or that experience, you're not going to go anywhere? So, you know, it depends on the individual, and, you know, each of us has our own unique personality.
Yeah.
But for me, a lot of those things I actually inquired about in that initial telephone conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's probably, you know, a lot of that is good before you even meet the person to at least come up with some basic, you know, solid qualifications that you just must have to consider.
Well, let me give you one example that may be common for a number of us who have been in a long-term relationship. I have a family. You know, I gave birth, and I realize for me what a life-changing experience raising a child was.
Yeah.
And so I was looking for someone who had been married, perhaps now was divorced or widowed or whatnot, and it had a similar opportunity in terms of raising a family, because I think that helps us develop many things that we never would develop. For instance, if I saw in someone's profile that at maybe age 55 or 60, he'd never been married, he'd been a single guy, I was like, no way, because we know we do get set in our ways. So,
they always pick on us men that have never been married.
Well, you know,
not me,
but women too. And let me speak to something else I just recall that I'm sure a lot of people's experience, if they've tried online dating and maybe it hasn't been successful. There are folks out there, men and women, who post pictures and paint a picture in words that describe perhaps who they were 10 or 15 years ago, 20 pounds lighter, you know, so on and so forth. This always just really flummoxes me, because if your intention is to meet this person in person, face to face, hey, the gig's going to be up, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Unless they're just trying to, you know, put another little notch in their belt in terms of this is how many people I met.
Yeah,
as a result
really
of online dating.
Isn't it?
And I've heard that, fortunately for me, because I guess I did enough homework, was not a problem for me. But some of the guys that I have dated would tell me stories that were just, they were comical. But, you know, it's like, why do people do these things? But they do. So, you know, you have to just be, I guess, careful and scrutinize the situation enough that maybe, hopefully, you don't get caught up with a surprise. You're meeting somebody for a drink or a cup of coffee, and in they walk, and whoa, is this the same person?
Well, let's move on to the broader subjects of recovery from loss and transformation at middle age. Why is it so few of us realize the incredible power we have to change our own lives, and we continue to blame other people or circumstances beyond our control for remaining stuck, unsatisfied, and unhappy? I think I know the answer to that.
That's a big question. It's a loaded one, and in a way it has a simple answer, but the simplicity of the answer has very, very deep roots.
Yeah.
It's my strong belief, and it's been my life's experience, that I attract to me that which I am ready to attract, be that job opportunities, a person, you know, whatever it is, even health conditions.
Yeah.
And it's not about judging ourselves ever, but judging ourselves from past. You know, what did I do wrong that I brought this, that, or the other into my life? That's not the issue. It's whatever we're looking for or confronting today. It's how do I deal with this? Okay, this is on my plate. What's the highest and best way I can deal with it? And or, very importantly, learn from it. What is this person, what is this situation which we might judge as bad versus good? What does this have to teach me? Because I guarantee there is a lesson in everything.
Yeah, and we may
We may think that the good times or the, quote, good people, the positive experiences are our greatest teacher. It's just the opposite.
Yeah.
It's the testiest relationships. It's the ugliest, the most apparently unfortunate situations that are our greatest teachers. If we can take the time to really examine through our own inner knowing
We have the guts to really hold ourselves responsible, and even say if it's a divorce where your spouse has been cheating on you, if you look inside and say, what did I do to, you know, was it all his or her fault, or was I partly to blame for this? I mean, that's just an example. But
it's a great example, and it's true that whatever, and if we use that example of a divorce, there are two people involved, and, you know, there's no point in pointing a finger of blame outside yourself at the world, at that individual, whatever it is, because the real answer, the real blame, and I don't like to use that word in terms of myself,
but
I have responsibility, and so we have to be courageous enough and intentional enough to recognize what my responsibility is in whatever it is that occurs in my life.
Well, in your books and your coaching, you tell us that we can create a powerful life from in the inside out. What do you mean by inside out?
Well, again, I spoke just briefly to that, well, maybe I didn't call it this, but that small inner knowing. And, you know, we all have various spiritual beliefs or maybe no spiritual beliefs. But for me, I do know that I have the inner wisdom to guide me wherever I need to go. And again, sometimes I get to that place in a less than direct way, but that doesn't mean it was the wrong way. That was the way that I chose and I needed to go to learn whatever it was I would discover. So, you know, I think often in the West, when we can financially afford it, sometimes we may run to a therapist a little bit too quickly. And there are certainly times when we absolutely need that professional help and that, you know, that acumen. But more often, I think, rather than chatting with friends or boo-hooing on somebody's shoulder, if we can just get quiet and go inside in that quiet space and really listen to what our own soul has to tell us.
Blog, you describe your vision of God, and it's far different from the image of a distant deity residing far away in heaven. What's your understanding of God, the creative energy of the universe, and where should we seek God, and what's the best way to make connection?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, let me preface this by saying that we know that so many disconnections, so much violence in the world has as a basis religions, the religion or the spiritual beliefs are at war with one another. And it seems that it's very seldom the case that people ever ask, what do you mean by God? Rather than the atheist saying, I don't believe in God. Or assuming that one person's idea and belief is going to be the same as yours. Because chances are they're not, even if you go to the same church or synagogue. So for me, what I found out, and I grew up as a young child in a very almost fundamentalist type of upbringing, Christian upbringing, the Assembly of God. And I've moved now to what's known as spiritual metaphysics. And it's the belief that God is not made in man's image, which is sort of the Michelangelo's depiction on the Sistine Chapel's ceiling, we can't explain God really, because this is a power that's so much, it's beyond our vocabulary. And when we try to define God in our words, we're limiting that idea of God to what we as human beings can understand, which is how we communicate.
Yes, so much of this terrorism in the name of religion is exactly that. I'm not trying to judge someone else's religion, but
it's true. And I studied a little bit of the world's religions when I was in college, and at their very deepest essence, they all seem to converge at the same understanding. And, you know, but we never get there. We never look for the similarities. We'd rather deal with the superficial differences. But to answer your question very, very briefly, I went from holding on to that image of the big, great guy with the white beard in the sky to an understanding that for me, when I speak the word God or spirit, I'm talking about an energy.
Yeah.
And you can't really visualize energy. In fact,
you can't
see this kind of energy. But it's the energy of love, and that is the creative power that brought each and every one of us here, and it's the creative power that I have, that's inherent in me and every one of us, to create at the micro level what God creates at the macro level.
And, you know, that's not totally in opposed to what Jesus says in the scriptures when he said, I am in the Father and the Father's in me. I mean, obviously the Father was the image that back in the Jewish tradition they used.
Sure.
But God is in each of us, and certainly was largely present in Jesus, probably much more than most of us, without
doubt.
Well,
I'm a big Jesus fan, I'll tell you. I see Jesus as the master teacher.
Yeah.
I was raised Christian, but there are whatever religion, if people have sort of a religious base, we all have master teachers within that belief system. And I'll tell you, so many things that are in the Christian Bible that Jesus spoke and taught, if we really understand what he's saying, it's exactly what New Thought is all about.
That's
and
very
it is
true.
That we can do all that Jesus did and more. And, whoa, that's a big one. Like, are you kidding me? But what it has to do with, as I understand it, is the Christ consciousness. When we have a consciousness that is as evolved as Jesus, and we're working on it, but we may not get there in this lifetime, we can do all that he did and more. I truly
believe
that.
It's like each one of us, you know, God is the ocean. I've heard this image one time, and we're a little wave in the ocean, and
exactly,
we have a little
or a drop
part of God in us, and if we can expand the presence of God within us, then we obviously are closer to truth, although none of us are ever going to get there and understanding.
Well, don't write yourself off so quickly. I wouldn't, you know, it might not be that we get there in this lifetime.
No, in this lifetime.
But I think that's what each of our souls is endeavoring to ultimately accomplish, at least.
Well,
you know,
one
that's
more
my
quick question. Mm-hmm. If given the image of God as, you know, us being a little part of God, how do you pray then? You know, you're not praying to the man upstairs. How
right.
do you effectively pray to when your own being?
How do I
part
pray
of...
to energy or how exactly? Okay. And let me say, when I first was making this shift in my spiritual understanding, I had two quite distinct ways of praying and thinking about God. And I found that there was nothing wrong with that. They were quite compatible.
Yeah.
I still thought of God as outside of me, something greater.
Yeah.
And so it was sort of through practice and contemplation that brought me to where I am today. So I do what's called affirmative prayer.
Ooh.
And I basically declare that something is true, and I know it. And I also know that there are spiritual forces and energies beyond what I can see or know that are at work for me and with me.
Yes, and you're basically praying for a greater understanding of, or bring more of that insight and effect to, so you're understanding your essence better. I love that that approach, because you're really, the more you understand, obviously, the more we recognize what's really important in life and in the universe, and it also can be a very positive way to approach the future, that you always have potential to grow and understand ourselves more so that we can move to more success, and however you define it, and both for ourselves and for everyone else in the world, since we're all connected. But
absolutely. And I would say, in addition to it being very positive, it's a very empowering, it's a very powerful understanding.
Well, let's talk briefly about your brand new book, The Transformative Power of Love, a trilogy. And this comprehensive book includes all three of your alchemy books. And what are the three prior books that you include in that?
And again, they can be purchased through Amazon as individual books, or under the single cover now, The Transformational Power of Love. When I started writing the first one, which is Secrets of a 21st Century Alchemist, I had no idea that I was going to be writing a trilogy. In fact, it wasn't until the end of the third one that I said, well, look what I've done. I've created a trilogy.
Yeah.
So they each build on one another. The second book is actually The Sacred Alchemy of Love, Secrets for Intimate Relationships. And it, what it did is it took a chapter out, sort of started with the premises in a chapter in the first book, and created its own book. And then the third and final book in the trilogy is called Outrageous Loving, Alchemy at Work in Intimate Relationships. So they each built on what had gone before.
Well, that's great. If there was a single message you would like a reader to take away from your trilogy, what would it be?
I would say that, first of all, let me just share briefly the meaning of alchemy.
Yeah.
Alchemy historically meant making something greater from something of lesser value.
Yeah.
And we think of alchemy as transforming lead into gold.
Yeah.
But on a greater level, and even these ancient alchemists understood alchemy to mean basically growing a greater consciousness or awareness of ourselves.
Yeah.
So I would
I'd
say
like to make gold out of my lead.
Well, I would too, but you know, we can make gold, so to speak, in quotes, out of our lives. We can make our lives everything we want. And it's the this transformational, powerful alchemy of love that we can learn how to recognize and release past hurts. And we've all had past hurts.
Yeah.
Usually from infancy to early childhood.
Yeah.
And we need to recognize them through our adult experiences so we can move beyond them and then attract to us the meaningful, loving adult relationships that we all want.
Yeah, that goes so far beyond it. It relates to the law of attraction, but it's really that self-understanding and understanding where we are today that's so important before we can, you know, just wish the future.
Yeah, and I think that's how some people took away, unfortunately, a rather superficial understanding of the law of attraction, because the law of attraction is a very, very powerful law.
Yeah.
But you don't just wish it. You have to believe something at the depth of your being, which is often an unconscious level. So it makes it's a challenging process.
Well, where's the best place to go to preview and purchase your books?
The easiest place, the best place, and the quickest place is Amazon Books. And you put in my name using my middle or maiden name, Susan Truett, T-R-U-E-T-T, Trammell, T-R-A-M-M-E-L-L, and just Google my name on Amazon or do a search for my name, all my books and information and an inside peek will come up.
Yeah, you were easy to find on Amazon and all your books. But do you also have a website where we can learn more about you? And you have an excellent blog on there, and learn more about your coaching and speaking. What's the address we should go to?
The website address is just Susan T. Trammell, again, TRAMMELL.com. So you've got two T's. two M's and two L's.
That sounds good. Well, in conclusion, I'd like to quote from another of Susan Trammell's books, which I also recommend, Breaking Up, Breaking Down, and Breaking Through. It's also available on her website and through Amazon. And she says, now in my 60s, I personally experienced just about any kind of breakup imaginable, and I've not only survived, but sooner or later these experiences have created opportunities to thrive. And she goes on to add, breaking up is one of life's essentials, and while as humans pain is part of the process, suffering is optional. And I love that. So we don't need to sit around and regret what used to be or what might have been. And for God's sake, don't hang around in unhappiness simply because you're afraid to try something new. Because as Susan tells us, fear is a common human reaction to growth. And fear is born out of our past limiting beliefs of what is possible. But as we invite more of the universal truth and knowledge into our consciousness, we become more connected to God, and that fear is what's blocking us from that connection with God, the universal intelligence. And isn't it time to eliminate fear so that you can wow the people you want to impress personally and professionally, starting with yourself? We need to wow ourselves and say,
absolutely.
Gee, I never thought that was possible. Yes, you can.
We can't wow anybody else, Roy, until
no,
we can wow ourselves.
You better start with ourselves, right? And yes, you can connect with and expand your knowledge of the fearless, creative power within, and you can make that connection with the right life partner, as we started out, if that's what you want to do. And if you need assistance, I heartily recommend Susan Trammell's book, The Transformative Power of Love, a trilogy, and that's good inspirational summer reading. And thank you, Susan, so much for joining us here today, and best of success on your new books.
Thank you so much, Roy. I've enjoyed it.
One question before we go. Are your mind and spirit prepared to launch the new, improved version of you? Now, we're not talking here about some total stranger. Rather, I suggest you combine a useful zest for living that you had in your late teens and 20s with a mature judgment gained through 20-plus years of adult living. And that's a surefire winning combination. How about right now, I encourage you to make yourself four solemn promises. Promise number one, no longer will I dwell upon past mistakes. You know, there's nothing more pointless than dwelling on things that went wrong in the past. You can learn from them, but don't dwell on them. Promise number two, I hereby appoint myself as CEO of me. Who's better qualified to manage your own affairs than you are yourself? Promise number three, moving forward, I will seek out and concentrate upon positive aspects of today, and I will spread goodwill to those around me. How about Mr. Pick-me-up or Ms. Pick-me-up, not Ms. Tear-me-down or tear-things-down? And number four, starting now, I ban all worry and negative thinking for at least 60 minutes a day. You can start with 60 and then continually increase that. Eventually, maybe you can ban it for 23 hours and 30 minutes a day and only allow 30 left to worry about everything. Maybe ban it to zero eventually. Your next step is to fill the void left by discarded negative thoughts and with heartfelt images of a positive, goal-oriented future beginning now, not at some distant period in the future, but beginning right now. Absolutely refuse to sell yourself short. Positive visualization is a proven, wonderful tool, and if you genuinely believe in your heart and soul that life's second half will be joyful and productive, and if you visualize what living in a positive future will be like, it will be positive. No one can force you to dread today and tomorrow. You may not be able to fully determine the future, but you can condition your mind and emotions to anticipate and make the best of it, whatever your present circumstances. And to help you recapture the blessings of middle age, I suggest you preview my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, by Roy C. Richards. You can preview it on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or at my website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And that's our program for today. Tune in next week when we'll talk to the esteemed love doctor about romance at middle age, whether it's refreshing and reinvigorating your present romance or marriage, or whether you're suddenly single again and would like to change that. Tune in next week, and we'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.